We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Shin Ayin. We were learning about prayer. And the Magen Midovne had said that the format for prayer is that we always begin with praise and then we pose our requests. And we try to make the praise of a similar nature, of a similar topic to the request we're about to pose. We're on page Shin Ayin. Kmo shetimtza beAvinu Yaakov alav haShalom. As you find with our father Jacob, peace be upon him, b'rutzono levakesh, when he wanted to request, Hatzileni na miyadachim miyad Esav, he says to Hashem, save me from the hands of my brother, the hands of Esav. That's not the book. That's not the book. That's not Sefer Amidot, what he's got is Sefer Amidot. So he says, we're on the second paragraph, third line. He says, save me from my brother Esav. That's his request. Amar tchila, but he begins by saying, I am minor compared to all the kindness and truth you've done on my behalf. He begins by praising all the good he's received until now, and then he makes his request. Okay, now I'm asking, please save me. So he begins by giving thanks, and then he makes a request. So to Moshe, our teacher, peace be upon him, what's he praying for? He wants to pass the Jordan and see the land of Israel. He begins by praising the past. He says, you've already shown your servant et godlecha, your greatness, ve'et yadcha chazaka, your mighty hand. What potent being is there in heaven and earth that does like you? He gives all this praise about the past, and then he makes his request. Hashem, please let me cross into the land of Israel. So too you'll find in the prayers of the prophets, peace be upon them, if you only take time to seek it out and look, you'll see they always begin by praising and only then making their request. And the reasoning behind this will be explained when we better understand the whole idea, the purpose of prayer. We'll discuss that in the next chapter. So what's the difference between a blessing, a prayer, and thanks? The rule is that a blessing must have Shem, a mention of Hashem's name, and Malchut, a recognition that Hashem is king over the world. Every blessing has to have that component. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Blessed are you Hashem, we mention Hashem's name, we say He is king of the world. As our teachers of blessed memory taught, any blessing that does not have this component of a mention of Hashem's name and a mention of Hashem's kingship is not a blessing. A person can't just invent a blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem, that made the air so clean. Blessed are you, Hashem, that made the sun shine bright. You can't just invent a blessing. You have to work with the system, with the format that our sages instituted. It says, if you walk out in the morning and you see a beautiful sunshine, you're supposed to say, wow, blessed are you, Hashem, yotzer or uvorecha oshech. You've created light, you've created darkness, you've made such a wonderful world. So the blessing of Yotzer Or should be a reaction to the beautiful splendor of a sunrise. You can have a reaction. If we learn the blessings, we'll see that there are blessings that are fit for each circumstance, but within the framework, within the system. You can't just say God's name because you feel like it. It doesn't work that way. But when it comes to praise and thanks and prayer and requests, there you have an open hand. Every person has permission. You could say new things depending on what you need right now. You could be sitting in line and saying, Ribon Shom, help this the checkout clerk do a good job so I could get out of here on time and I won't be late for davening. You could say a prayer about anything. Whatever you need. We find often in the Talmud that the rabbis of the Talmud compiled their own prayers based upon their needs. Each one prayed the prayer that's fitting them, which was fitting for their needs. And then the later generations, after the period of the Talmud, the rabbis of the Gaonic era, what we call the Geonim, so they also compiled prayers and songs and verses and sections of praise. That's fine. We said in blessings we're limited, in prayer we're not limited. We said earlier, he's coming back to this, he said, there are multiple types of prayer. He said, there's prayer which is efshariyit, that's possible. He says, you ask that things that could possibly go wrong shouldn't go wrong. And then there's prayer that's hechechiyit, that's a necessity. So that he explained. So until now he was explaining prayer that involves possibilities. You would like things to work out right. You have possibilities in life. There are possible outcomes. We pray that things work out right. That's one type of prayer. Now he's going to the other type of prayer. Hechechiyit. So he says, Kmo sheif shal olam b'lo tova tmidi. Hechechil kiyu mitziyut advarim. Just as the world can't exist without this constant good, you need air, you need sunlight, you need heat. There are basic things that give life. You wouldn't have life on this planet without it. And there are things that support life. Things that you need food, there are things that support life and you couldn't live without them. By the same token, it is impossible for a Jew to go through a period of time, a day or a night through his life, to go through a day without praying, to go through a night without praying. As we find in the Kuzari, the rabbi says, he says, this is my highlight. This is what I'm waiting for all day. Now, you guys will experience this when there's someone special in your life. You can't wait to see that person. It could be your spouse. It could be your child. You're waiting to see that person. It's a part of your life. That's what prayer is supposed to be. I can't go through the day without talking to my Creator. There's a Holocaust survivor who once told me, she says, people think I'm not religious because I don't go to shul too much and I don't pray those official prayers too much, but I want you to know I don't put up a soup to cook without talking to my Creator. I don't put up soup to cook without talking to my Creator. Everything I do, I'm talking to Him. So a person lives his life and he has a need to communicate with his Creator. And just as the body needs food, so too the soul needs nourishment. Very often when people say, I'm down spiritually, how do I get up? I've fallen and I can't get up. The answer is very often in prayer. Take 5 minutes to think about what you're doing there. A person prays for his soul and he feeds his body. And it's as though you can move forward with that glow, with the warmth of the previous prayer. It can hold you out till the next prayer. I'll tell you what it's similar to. How do you last a week? Because you had Shabbos behind you. Coming off of Shabbos, you have strength for the whole week. Where do we see this? Did you notice this year Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos? Didn't you feel like it was 2 weeks straight without a break in between? Because you spent the whole Shabbos, you're praying, you're not eating, you're not resting. It's a different Shabbos. Now suddenly you have to run into Sukkot. I can tell you I haven't recovered yet. We're holding now in the month of Cheshvan. I have yet to recover from that Shabbos I missed. And it's always that way. Every year that Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, it takes me a few months to recuperate from missing that Shabbos. I can tell you I personally have not yet recovered. I'm still missing that Shabbos. I'm still overworked in that sense that I didn't have that Shabbos to rest. I didn't have that Shabbos to refill my batteries. Prayer is the same way. Where you can last because you're coming off of the last prayer, so you can last to the next prayer. Now this is when prayer is real, when it's meaningful. But every person can do this. Why does Hasidism stick? Why do people like Hasidut? Because it's accessible to everyone. There's a stress on prayer. Talk to your Creator. You can do it. You don't need to know the Shas in order to connect. Katmadat koch sudat yomat sheisad balayla. Just as you eat in the morning and it keeps you going till lunchtime, so too the prayer of the morning keeps you going till mincha. V'chol asher tichak et hatfila ma'anefesh, yolecht v'koderet. I'll tell you where I sense it in these winter months, where you could daven ma'ariv at 5 o'clock. Suddenly it comes 10 o'clock at night, I look at my watch and I say, I want to daven ma'ariv, but I did already at 5 o'clock. So I'm not going to talk to my Creator till tomorrow morning? So many hours without a prayer? I find it difficult. It's a good reason why I prefer davening later. V'chol asher tirchak et hatfila ma'anefesh, yolecht v'koderet. Our sages say when King Solomon said something destroyed that cannot be fixed, he was talking about someone who missed a prayer. You didn't say Shema in the morning. Gone. Okay, now you could say the next Shema, but you can never make up the one you missed. And elsewhere our sages taught, if someone reads Kriyat Shema morning and night, and then he misses a night, he feels like he never read Kriyat Shema. He wakes up in the morning and he's suddenly devastated. I missed it. How could I have missed it? What do you mean? But you made every other night. You only missed one. He doesn't feel that way. He feels like, how did I miss that one? So, we're evolving in the tefillah that he says is a necessity for life. There's the tefillah which we discussed earlier. It's tefillah for things that you're concerned about. What's going to be here? What's going to be there? You talk to your Creator about it. Then there's the tefillah that's an element of the soul that's a necessity. Man needs it in his day-to-day. He needs it in his life. And that's what we're discussing here. That's what we're in the middle of discussing here on page Shinayin Aleph of the second chapter.